Judges, chapter 11, a most touching story we want to dwell on this evening. From the book of Joshua, you will find the book of Judges before the book of Samuel. And I am reading from the 29th verse of the 11th chapter of Judges, Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Michpesh of Gilead. And from Michpesh of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace, from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand, and he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and on to the plain of the vineyard with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpeh unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. What words of faith, sincerity, and dedication to God! I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Listen to the words of this maiden. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. Forasmuch as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me, let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to Laman, the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. Isn't that story touching? If you are in the service this evening and you have a Christian spirit, you must be touched with that story. And if you are not touched, you are not paying attention, and your spirit is somewhere else, bring it back home. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy words. And I am starting much too late tonight for such a wonderful story. But I don't think that it is too late for our precious brethren overseas who are streaming in, sleeping over at homes, some of them, awaiting this service. And there it should be about 6 o'clock in the morning, 9.5 hours ahead of us. And we want to greet them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to say that the Lord will surely bless you, brethren, for your efforts over there in India and wherever you are streaming, and also our precious brethren there in St. Lucia, you precious brethren that are gathered there from day to day to look at this streaming. We certainly welcome you to this service. And we welcome those there in St. Lucia who came from so-called Pentecost by the instrumentality of the little book called Pentecostalism and have been rebaptized in Christian baptism. Yes, sir. So we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, and not forgetting my next home church there in USA, GCC. We greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for your patience and for your dedication and for streaming in today to enjoy this service. And all those who are streaming in, our precious brother, if you are there in Indonesia, we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't think it will take too long just to wave to the brethren as they are looking into you and say, the Lord bless you. Amen. I am sure that makes them feel, you know, good, encouraged. I'm sure that makes them feel like if they are in this service. Oh, the Lord bless each and every one of them. And I want to preach a little bit, and if it's not finished, I will go along another day or two. And I believe that this topic here is very important on Christian courage. And I want to lay emphasis towards the end of the message on Jephthah's daughter. And some may reasonably ask why you didn't put Jephthah. You will find out in a little while about why this subject highlight Jephthah's daughter. I feel like if she is one of the most admirable young lady in the scriptures, outside of Mother Mary. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. This is an admirable young lady. My heart breaks when I hear the words of faith, sincerity, honesty. Yes, dedication to both her father and God. It's tremendous. And that happened in the scripture to encourage Christians along the pathway. For 2,000 years, and not only the Christian world, but encourage the people of God ever since that time, that even in the New Testament, when Brother Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and he said that the time will fail to speak of Gideon and of Samson. Yes, and he brought down, right down, and he said, and of Jephthah. Yes. And this little girl And her father was very popular in the scriptures, and I believe that it encouraged the hearts of many people. And I am here again to encourage your hearts by showing you how what people suffered, how faithful, how dedicated, how committed they were to both man and God. And I think that this young lady here, together with her father, are great examples. It's so wonderful. Yes, sir. And I believe it will serve as an encouragement to all Christians until the Lord comes. Yes, the Church of God, message believers worldwide, is heading to a great climax. Every day brings us closer to a great climax. There are several climaxes, but every day brings us to a greater climax. And in this context that I am speaking, it is bringing us to a great trial upon the Christian church. Through the World Council of Churches and the Mark of the Beast. And message believers read about this great trial and temptation. Many of them cannot put this together. Some of them put it way off after the rapture. And some of them just don't understand. Because of their lack of understanding, they are not preparing for this great climax. But God has not forgotten His job. I believe that the Lord had been training His people for the great climax to come. It is going to be terrible. And people that follow the prophet and claim that the prophet is their father, even like Esau, will sell their birthright for a bowl of soup and take the mark of the beast. Yes, and the Lord knows that. Because of that, and the Lord knows that the church is heading to a great climax, I am here to remind you again that God is training individuals. Amen. Training His servants. Training His church to be courageous. To be courageous. To be brave. To be bold. When David came out of the wilderness to meet Goliath, it was not a one-day affair. No, he had been in training in the back part of the desert. And there were certain challenges that he faced. The Bible only recorded two challenges of a bear and about a lion. But there were many other challenges until he became bold. He became brave. Until he became braver than Saul and Jonathan, who was swifter than eagles and stronger than lions, as men of war. And that man, not man, even a boy, stepped out there and took up the greatest challenge in that time that was facing Israel. So nothing takes God unawares. The Lord knows what is coming down the road. Now people take this for granted, brethren. But the Lord knows that people under this message will sell their birthright for a bowl of soup again. It has to do with buying and selling. It has to do with food. And God is training individuals, He's training His servants, not only to meet this great climax, but He is training them for another revival. God called man, the prophet of God, say, in all the cry for revival, God cannot send a revival until He has have God called man. Until He has God trained man. Men that are not trained up by theology, but men who have come through God's rugged school of training, they are not afraid of the opposition. So a man don't just raise up overnight as a coward and then become brave. There are certain things that trains that man. As David was trained with the bear and trained with the lion to meet Goliath later, the Lord is doing the same today. He is training the church of God to be courageous. And how is He doing this great job? He's doing this great job by small trials. These trials are small trials. He let somebody speak evil of you. He let somebody run down your name. He may allow somebody to hold you to court for righteousness. It's all under training. So when the Lord trained His children, He allowed trials to come their way. And I will show you, you know, how the Lord does that and how that is the best way. The Lord trained His people by loosing the spirit of the devil. Yes, sir. And when the Lord loosed these spirits, then it comes to the congregation, and people sense these spirits of fear. Fear is a great trial. Fear. Now, we meet our brothers and sisters, but we don't know how deeply they suffer fear. Because they are even afraid to say that. We meet people every day, they smile, shake hands and everything, but many suffer depressions. Some are suicidal. I'm talking about message world now. Right through the world. Now I want you to understand, brethren, that since the opening of the seals, great, great demonic power was loosed upon the face of the earth. I don't have time to go through that, but you listen to the prophet's message of an experience that he had in J.C. Penney's store on the book called Souls That Are in Prison Now. And to show you that these demons that was loosed in that time is real. That the prophet at the age of 14 went down to hell. Believe it or not. I believe that. He was dying as a sinner boy and he started to fall and could not stop falling. And then he ended up in hell. And then he seen women dressed like they are dressed today, with the different paints and everything. 40 years after that, the prophet of God went to J.C. Penney's store, and he trembled like a leaf, because he was seeing the very same thing that he's seen in hell. From that we understand that hell has now come up upon the face of the earth. With all them demon power loosed upon the earth since the opening of the seals. Revelation 9 speaks of the demons that was bound in Euphrates River. They came up here to do battle. They came up here to form an army that will fight in the Armageddon battle. Since that time, my brethren, insanity rise to I don't know how much percent. You could find a madman everywhere that you go. You could find them in the political realm, religious realm. Everywhere, every so often you hear a student in the state take a gun and just kill 30 people. 25 people. Now this is insanity. He said in another place, he said the whole world is going to grope in insanity. Now how you think that they will grope in insanity? They will grope in insanity because of the demons that are upon the face of the earth today. Now people without the blood and the word of God to protect them and the presence of God has to fight against this demon power. They cannot take it upon their natural minds. They end up taking dope. Or they end up in insanity. And some of them has intellectual madness that you don't even know that they are mad. But they are mad. Just like Hitler was mad when them spirit was loosed in the political realm. After it was loose in the political realm, then it was loose in the ecclesiastical realm. Feast of the Trumpet, you could search for that there. Now those spirits, I address it as the hour and the power of darkness. I don't have time to deal with that. But if Jesus was here, he would say, this is the hour and the power of darkness. Hell has come up upon the face of the earth. Now this is that realm that you and I are living in as Christians. That is why when you come into the presence of the Lord, there is peace, there is happiness, there is joy, yes sir, and you feel comfortable. But when you go out and stay out of the presence of the Lord too long, you have a buffeting. And then Brother Paul said that you are heavy because of manifold temptation. So now there are manifold temptations upon the face of the earth on account of that. Now God makes no mistake. The Lord is even using that in order to train his children. When we come face to face with the hour and power of darkness, like what we experience many times, friends, we are on training ground. So now this, these spirits, they come around a Christian, and then they could feel, some minds are such that they could feel fear. They could feel depression. They could feel suppression. They could hear a little voice in their time of trouble telling them, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. And many other temptations that come. I cannot detail them tonight. But your mind is the battleground. And that voice will tell you, you can't get the token. You can't make it down the road. The preacher hates you. You tried so long. You cannot make it. You just cannot make it. Now, all those are temptations to take you away from eternal life. And don't talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Young and old, they are exposed to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, in their mind. It's the battleground. And when I say young and old, I'm talking about even an impotent man. I'm talking about men that are not even physically capable. Friends, it goes on in their mind. Because immorality starts in the spirit. It starts in the spirit. It's a spirit. You know who had that knowledge? Satan. And Eve knew nothing about it until he introduced that. It started in the mind first. And then after it was manifested. Those that escaped Sodom and Gomorrah today, brethren, you will have to come in contact with what the seals released. the seed of life. It's worth repeating, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we would all be like unto Sodom, and all be like unto Gomorrah. So now, because of the demon power that is upon the face of the earth today, worldwide, every message assembly runs, they face the same thing. And woe be unto them if they do not have the Spirit of God to comfort them. And because of heresies, they have long ago drive away the Spirit of God from the assemblies. So now that is why Solomon Gomorrah is creeping into the assemblies that follow the message. It is upon the preacher, his wife, and his children. They have little or no standard whatsoever. And they are drifting the way of so-called Pentecost in order to keep the people by bringing in worldly music, by allowing sports in the church, by allowing immodest dressing. Because if they go to correct that, friends, the church will be empty. And the ministers don't know how to control that because the Spirit of God is not among them. However, the Spirit of the Lord is with individuals that are sincere. But they are suffering terrible. Now, you go to one of these assembly, friend, I dismiss this church and I send you out. And you go in there and where they do not have the Spirit of God, immediately you get a headache. Your head wants to bust. You want to run out of there. And those people are trying to strive under that condition. Now, if you are in the presence of God every day with the truth preached to you, and some of you, brethren, are sometimes attacked by the enemy in a very vicious way, what about the people outside there without the Spirit of God? It's a sad state. Listen to me. God must send another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If he don't send an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, many souls will go through the tribulation. Yes. Now, being spiritual people, you sense these spirits when they come around you. It's a negative atmosphere. Yes, some, when they face this demon power that is loosed amongst the people, they become cowards and they quit. They run for their lives. They are finished with the church, finished with the word, finished with the message, and succumb to the things of the world. Now God is trying to move us away from that kind of attitude. Yes. He's trying to move us away from that kind of weakness, that kind of for a cowardness. Yes, sir. Now the Lord allowed that to come into the church for many reasons. Now he allowed these kinds of spirit to come to the individual in order to drive them to prayer. That's his effort. To drive them to prayer. Notice that when it came upon that mountain, the answer that Jesus gave them was what? Pray. No, you see the answer for this condition today? Pray that he enter not into temptation. That's the solution. So the Lord was sending there that them spirits to drive the apostles to pray. Now, some people want to know why I am so hard when somebody drop asleep in the service or half dopey in the service while the word of God is going on. Look upon the mountain and you will find out. And I will prove my point tonight. It was the devil with his demons that was putting the disciples to sleep. And Jesus was feeling the same power. But because of his sincerity and honesty and his love for God, brother, he opened his eyes and prayed. So now, sleepy spirits are the devil's spirit. And when you come in here and sleep in the back, sleep in the middle where the preacher can't see you, you're devil upon you. And that is to anoint the service and fight the word of God and create a negative atmosphere amongst the people that are around you who is alert to the word of God. I am saying to you, watch and pray that he enter not into temptation. So the Lord loosed his depressive spirit. And it's not a nice feeling, you know, because he wants you to go and pray. When you get depressed, pray. No, but somebody wants to run. No, he said pray. The Lord allowed his spirits to come amongst us because he wants you to come in time in service and bathe in his spirit. He is giving you a reason to come to service every day. He is giving you reasons to get down on your knee in your prayer closet. If he makes the nest, brother, too feathery on a bed of roses, you'll remain in a Laodicean condition. So the Lord allowed trouble to come up in your home, trouble to come up on the job, trouble to come up in the neighborhood, trouble to come up with your best friend, in order that you might draw closer to him. Nothing is going wrong. Nothing is going wrong. He wants to bring you in unity. Yes, he wants you to correct your lives. He wants you to draw closer to him. He wants to lead you to a soul deep anointing. Now, it is Satan's effort to destroy the service, destroy you, destroy the music, destroy the singing. That's his ambition. But it is the Lord's effort to perfect us. It is the Lord's desire to see that you become courageous. You say, why is all this happening to me? I am depressed, I'm suppressed, I'm supposed to be a Christian. And sometimes I feel so good. Other times I feel so depressed, I don't know what I am depressed about. I don't know what I'm sad about. That's the Lord sending the devil to you. To move you into prayer. To move you into fasting. To move you into listening to the word. To move you to come to church here. Yes, and find the presence of God. That's his effort. Yes, sir. Now, if he don't allow that sometimes, we will fall down. We will certainly fall down. Now, some people, they take the covered way out when God loose these spirits. The coward way out is to run from the whole thing. Run and go where? Any running from the word of God and from your trials, brother, is to run to hell. And to run into the tribulation. So the Lord is acquainting us with these demons and he wants us to be overcomers. And he promised my brother to sit upon his throne when we overcome. Now, if the Lord don't loose this, we cannot be overcomers. He said, unto him that what? Overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The throne is for overcomers. The only age that is promised to sit with Christ in his throne is this age. So it goes to show that we are going to fight something very great. and we will become overcomers by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the presence of the Lord. And we have the weapon to fight Satan. From the opening of the seals, come forth the word of God and the presence of God. And sometimes when the Lord starts putting the pressure upon people to train them by allowing them to feel them spooky spirits, they start interpreting that. They interpret that, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I'm a serpent seed. Maybe I don't belong here. Maybe I blasphemed. You know what? It's better I commit suicide. You coward, you. I wonder how you will face Jephthah, daughter. I wonder how you will face Mr. Jephthah. And something that you overlook when you read that scripture, this daughter had a mother. They never even mentioned her, but she had a mother. Oh, I wish I had the time to get into that story tonight. And bring it down, brothers and sisters, down to a family. To show you how God allowed his children to be tempted. Listen to me, friends. Let us talk now. I ain't going to encourage you. You know the beauty of eternal life? Brethren, to live and never die, never have a pain, never have a problem, never correct your children, not a day you have to take a tablet. You think you're going to get that, my brother, free, without paying a price and overcoming something? Now people want to pay the highest price for everything, and even pay with their soul to get it. But for eternal life, they don't want to make a sacrifice. Brethren, eternal life is a precious something. You've got to go through some trials. You've got to go through some testing. You've got to make some kind of a sacrifice. You ain't going to get it on a silver platter. And when you have a trial, you get up and start running like the apostles and flee naked too. Now, maybe if I get time, I bring that out later. But that hour and power of darkness caused hefty apostles to run naked. So it was a depressive spirit, and it was a running spirit. It was a denying spirit. You see, while the Lord is trying to make us courageous, we are looking at the little trials that he sends to make us courageous as something big is happening to us. This boy, I, a Christian, should bounce my toe today? Huh? I, as a Christian, didn't get beef to eat today? People love themselves too much. And people pity themselves too much. Yeah, and when the devil clapped just a little hard, boy, I tell you, it's racing. You have to learn that this is training grounds. And the Lord will bring a depressive spirit around you. He will bring a suppressive spirit. He will cause troubles in the home and in the family and in the neighborhood. He will make it look like nobody loves you. And brethren, when you stand up there as a hero and say, if nobody loves me, God still loves me. The Lord looked down there and smiled. But a coward died many times before their death. And a hero never dies. Yeah. So now, these are the very things that the Lord bring our way to make us courageous for the great climax. People run from the little things. How are they going to be faithful in the big things that is to come? Brethren, none of us has resisted unto blood yet. And we should be ashamed to complain. Yeah. And cry down the place because somebody spoke evil of us. Or somebody, my brothers and sisters, done something and you become violent. Yes, you say, I care nothing about church again, I will kill them. Now the Lord sent that spirit to show your nature is not yet changed. Yes. He wants you to become like him. That when he was reviled, he answered not again. When they hit him, he never retaliated. He's trying to breed a certain character. But somebody misunderstands the training of the Lord. You've got to go through your rugged training, brethren. He will use sickness to train you. Yeah. He's trying to tell you something by the sickness. He's trying to tell you something. You have an error somewhere in your life. Correct it. Correct it. Correct it. And if you don't hear it, he gives you a little more. Then you start looking up to him and say, Lord, forgive me if I do anything wrong. And then you start feeling better and you don't know how you're feeling better now. Sometimes you undo nothing. Just like Job. And the Lord allowed these things to happen. Yes, sir. To try you. Yes, sir. So, these are the very things. Now, if David had seen the bear coming, and get covered, and run away, and say, you know what happened? I'm going to climb on a high tree. Yes? And you know what I will do? I will hide until the bear leave. But it will eat the sheep. And he look around, he said, look how much losses I have, 20 sheep. He said, I ain't people live again, commit suicide. Now he will go down like that, brother, in the records. But he did not go down like that in the records. He took his training. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Even to pass that first trial and the second trial. And he was a hero to face Goliath. There was a Goliath going to start roaring from Rome one of these days. Friends, and every one of you must have the courage even greater than David. You've got to have courage. You've got to have stamina. How do you think the Lord builds stamina, build courage, build boldness, build faith? It is by trials. And by loosing these spirits in your home. Your home could be going so nice and all of a sudden one set of confusion spirit come in there. And you don't know where it come from. The Lord send them down there. Yeah. Hey, God send them. He said, is there evil in the city and I have not done it? Yeah. He said, I'm the man that's doing it. Yes. He sent that down there. Boy, you get up one morning and before you know it, you get so weak like a trash, you're ashamed to admit how weak that you feel. That is to help you to realize that you are man yet and God is over your life. Yes? And if he take away the breath from your nostril, you could die right away. Why do you think you have that sugar diabetes? Don't you know that that is the Lord range and bit in your mouth? He hold that range and he hold that bit. And every time this proud man want to get away, he pull the range. Yes. Little sickness, little diabetes. You feel your heart beating, thump down. Oh, God, I'll die now. The Lord pull the range. And look how good it does, When you feel those things and you see death in front of your eye, immediately you start making your life right. Immediately, only God knows how to do that. You start repenting for things you already repent a long time ago. You start repenting because your mind is on the Lord. You're a believer. He loves you. Yes, my brother, he's training you. Yes. So now he actually trains you for greater trials that are ahead. Now this great thing that is loose upon the earth is not going to get better, friends. You better learn to face your small trials. It is going to get worse, you know. You better consider what Brother Bruce said in you tonight. In this little exhortation I'm talking to you tonight. That this thing that the Lord has loosed upon message believers is going to become greater. We are heading to a climax, and the Lord would allow these demons to come into the whole message world and come right among us with the presence of the Lord, because He wants a perfect church, and it comes through suffering and temptation. Yes, it comes through suffering and temptation. So now, when you see these kinds of things happening to genuine Christian people, where they feel suicidal, they feel depressive. Yes. Things start going wrong. Now, nothing wrong is happening. That's the Lord allow these spirits to come there to draw you closer to Him. All right? I don't have time for this, but let me drop in this right here. That's the hour and the power of darkness that visited the church before the day of Pentecost. The whole of hell was loosed upon Mount Olivet, which was a peaceful place, a happy place of retreat for the apostles and the Lord, and the whole of hell was loosed on that hill that day. Yes, sir. Now, why that was saying something. It was a sign. That was a sign saying that the token is at hand. The outpouring is at hand. And notice how that then demon power was associated with Judas' spirit. That Judas' spirit was associated with that Judas' spirit. And notice that at around the same time that Judas arose, a lot of people, my brother, start suffering from all kinds of depression. There are those that confess that they just figure like, they just want to run. I don't know why. I don't know where I'm going, Brother Bruce, but I just want to run. I want to run. I want to run. Let me tell you where to run. The word of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Yes, but I don't know how I'm feeling so. I cannot explain myself. I'm feeling depressive. I just feel not to meet anybody in the house. I just feel to go away, Brother Bruce. I love the world. I love everybody. I love the message. I love everything. But I just feel that I could leave and go somewhere very far. No, you know what the Lord is trying to tell you? Get into the Word. He's trying to tell you, sing deeper in the Word, child. Get the Spirit of God upon you. Pray a little more. And you're going to find that you are safe over there. All your fears will leave you. All your depression will leave you. All that spooky suicide. Nobody want to kill themselves. It's the devil that come there and try to buffet their mind. And tell them, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. Now if you start believing that you want to commit suicide, you may do it. Brother Branham was preaching one time, and then he cried out. Nobody knew what he was talking about, but then he had the son, and he watched right over. He says, soldier boy, soldier boy. Yeah. That's the devil talking to you, boy. You won't kill yourself. No, that's the devil lying to you. Yes, and the soldier was delivered. Now, first, a spirit come around you, friend, and start saying that you will do that. Until it convinces you that you want to do that. Yes. And then accept that that's the solution to your problem. And you know what had happened to that fella? There was a homosexual spirit around him. Yes. And that fellow made some kind of a blunder, a little blunder. And then that devil come and tell him, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. And that fellow was haunted for a long time. Yes. And then the Holy Spirit, through the prophet, cried out to that man. And he was delivered. So let me tell you something, brethren. When Satan wants to get you, he provokes you, just like our precious brother was saying last night, Brother Soupdale. He provokes you to sin. And then cause you to do something wrong. And when you do something wrong, then he comes along and accuses you.
as one beyond redemption, accuse you as you are the worst in the church, will accuse you as a traitor. And now he is trying to get you out of the church, out of the economy of God, trying to tell you run away, tell you to try to go kill yourself, go do this and go do that. He's a liar. You are not going to do that. Stand up and fight like a hero. Yes. Don't take the coward way out. Beloved, demon power caused people to run. Demon power caused people to deny the world. Demon power caused Peter to deny Christ. That's the hour that you and I are living in. Demon power brings suppressions. It takes away your happiness, your joy. Yes, it makes your home spooky. It makes your prayer closet spooky to run you out of there. That's the work of the devil. He caused trouble to arise in your home, in your mind, your very mind. You want to know if you are going or coming. You're not feeling the presence of the Lord. He starts telling you of a serpent seed. I said, forget it. Have faith in God. Be certain of God. As long as you believe that word in your heart, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Never mind what you're feeling. Never mind this. Never mind that. You stand up and stamp your foot down and say, Satan, you're a liar. I am a believer. I am going forward. I'm going to get the token. I am going to go in the rapture. I am not going through the tribulation. Get the hand, Satan. Yes. Then the Lord looks down and smiles. He said, that's the fellow that I want for the climax that is coming down the road. Yes, and then he could count on you for overcoming. Now, the training of a soldier is very rugged. But we have a very good general. Better than the general that caused those young fellows to run. Bring some new recruit in the army in Trinidad here. And cause a bunch of them to run nine miles in their very first exercise. That's a stupid general. 21 years old fellas that probably never even was in the sun too much. Caused them to run from one place right up to Macquarie. One fell dead. 8 of them hospitalized. I wonder if the general ran. Maybe he was in a motor car. But I want to tell you something about our general. We follow the captain's footsteps. He go in front of us, and we come behind. And he won't wait until we fall dead. No, my brothers and sisters, he know how to be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Yes. It's true that he trained you, but that training and that temptation that he allow you is, my brother, to train you for a greater climax coming. So nothing wrong is happening to you teenagers. Never sit down someday and tell you, you'll leave the church just now. You see Tom leave, you saw Doc Dick leave, you see Harry leave. Tell that devil that I am not Tom, I am not Dick, I am not Harry. Yes, sir. I am brother me. You see the next sister run away, and you see she went out there, and you will fall just now, stamp upon the head of the serpent. Yes, sir, you are serving God as an individual. Brethren, this demon power that I am talking about is real, you know. And I will tell you something, brethren, that if you are in the spirit and you are prayed up and you're supposed to be where you are, beloved, when it comes around you, although you are conscious of it and you know it is there, it would not suppress you. Brethren, do you ever see water fall on duck's back? Huh? Their feathers are oiled. And when that water falls upon the duck's back, it just runs off like that. Now, if you are prayed up, and if you are in the world, and if you are doing what you are told to do, when demon power comes around, you sense it, you know it is there, but it does not overcome you. It don't overcome you. So now, anytime you hear people, you know, they run away from the trials, and this happened, and the next happened, and the next happened, and you hear them contemplating, my brother, suicide, they're contemplating rebellion, they're contemplating, my brother, of abusing somebody, they're contemplating all kinds of negative things, they are not in prayer. Pray that he enter not into temptation.
Yes, it is true that some, even though they are in prayer and they're doing certain things that are right, they are just weak in the spirit. And we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You look at the motives and the objective of a person. They want to serve the Lord. Help them. Yes. Help them through their temptation. They fall a little faster. Yes. Help them. So, I so badly want to get to this story. Now, if you handle your problems in a negative way, and brethren, you are not in the spirit and the word enough, then you will choose the coward way out. You will choose the negative way out. You see, you will go down into depression and remain there for 3 months, 6 months. Yeah, you don't know if you're going or coming. You know, you're going to sleep. You need to pray, and when you are in that depression, you don't even feel to pray. You don't have the courage to pray, because the devil already tell you that God is not hearing you, and you are too much of a sinner. So then the devil tell you the best thing to do is to put a rope on your neck. Yes, put a rope on your neck. Brethren, that is not the solution. That's a coward way for a Christian. Very coward way. Yes. Now God put that pressure upon you and allow these spirits to come around you in order that he might cause you to change that negative attitude. Brethren, none of us in here are supposed to adopt a negative attitude. We are Christians. Look in the Bible and see how people handle their problems. And adopt Bible principles of handling your problem. You don't take the coward way out. Run from a situation. No. Face the situation. Give me a few minutes. Yes. All right, brethren. Now, if we don't take this training, and if I don't have this training, when the Pope growls from the Vatican, the throne of the Vatican, you know what my advice will be to you? Well, brethren, we're dead today. We better buy some cheap rope and hang ourselves, you know. Now, what kind of a preacher that is going to be? It was to show that we was never trained. Huh? Well, the World Council of Churches starts squeezing us here now, and the mark of the beast is coming, my brother, all of us surrender. They say, yes, 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 we believe in Papa Pope. We believe. Hear what the Bible said, my brother. The Bible said they were tortured and not accepting deliverance. Because they look for a better resurrection. We are looking for a better resurrection. My brother, and we are looking to die and go to the grave. My brother, we are looking to fly away from this place. Yes. Yes, my brethren. Now, God made cowards, just like the preacher was saying last night, out of weakness were made strong. Made cowards. Take cowards and make them bold. What done it? The Spirit of God. The Word of God. All that the Lord wants from you is a yes. Yes, Lord, I want to go all the way.
And I believe that with all my heart. And regardless of how I feel and how weak I am, I believe that you are strong. And you can take me through all that the Lord wants. You don't have to be born brave, you know. No, the Lord look for weaklings, the prophet say, to make them strong. God is looking for weak people. Oh, well, we could go through the whole scripture with that. Moses reached up and said, Lord, I'm not an eloquent man. And I can't even talk. I've chosen you for the job. He said, who made the mouth? He said, I've so chosen you that I make you God. Stand in my stead, and I will give you a prophet if you can talk. In weakness, he was made strong. He went down with a crook stick down to Russia. That's the comparison today. And he defeated Russia and bring out God's people upon the mountain to worship him. Out of weakness made strong. You know, some of you might be thinking, but I am not a brave person. How I will face the Pope? How I will face the World Council of Churches? I will tell you how you will face it. The Lord will give you some hot trials now. And make you what he wants you to be. And instead of you being a coward and running away from your problems, you will learn to stand up like David in the wilderness. And stand up against the bears. Stand up against the lion. And then Goliath, my brothers and sisters, will be just, my brother, a walk over for you. You hear how that man talked there in the wilderness? A little boy. A little boy. My God, I can't get over that miracle, but no matter how much I preach that, I can't get over that miracle. How that little fellow convinced the great king and all the soldiers that was trained and backed down from fighting that man, how they allowed this little boy to go and fight with that Goliath. It's a miracle alone to give that decision. But Saul was a spiritual man. And he knew that his strength one time came from the Lord. But he got backslidden. And when he heard them stories about the bear and the lion, so he could do the job. His might is not in himself. It is with the God that I once served. Yeah. He said, let the little father go. All them soldiers must have taken out their eyes. You put in our lives in the hand of that little fellow. It was not a little fellow. It was God. Yes, sir. It was God. Yes. And he went out there, my brother, and slayed a giant. Yes, my love, those defiant words to that giant. Read it sometimes. Yes, but let us come to the story and close and sing the doxology and go home. Oh, yes. All right. Now we're talking about Jephthah just a little bit. And we're looking into the house of Jephthah. And to the background story, think of Jephthah not as a great warrior, but think of Jephthah as a believer. Yes, just like a young fella. And first I want to declare here in this story that Jephthah and his wife and his daughter were trained up to be courageous. And that did not happen by chance. No, certain things happened in their lives that brought about that courage. It was a little family of a husband and a wife and a virgin daughter living home, just like I was thinking, like me and my wife and my little daughter. Remain in my home, the rest took their flight. They were trained by God to face, my brothers and sisters, any opposition. Now, God knew that there was a great climax coming for them one day, but did not tell them the trial that they was going to face. Only God knew it. And this little daughter was not married yet. I anticipate that she could have been about 16, 17 years of age, maybe 18, still waiting to be married. Maybe she was engaged to a boy. Maybe she had already seen somebody that she loved in the family group there. And this little girl, we will see her background just now. One short thing is that these people had God first in their life. And God trained them to face a great climax that was coming down the road, as He is training you now to face a certain climax. Go back into the father's life a little bit. Look at that. Jephthah came through God's rugged school of training. How is that? His father went out and lived with a harlot and made a bastard child called Jephthah. And the Bible said that the mother of Jephthah was a harlot, a prostitute, a whore. Now, being a bastard, you know, you could not enter the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. So bad was immorality. And after a certain time that this young man grew up, maybe he became 16, 18 years of age, 20 years of age, his brethren get together and cast him out and say, "You're a bastard child. He was born from a harlot. Get out of this house, you would not share in the inheritance of our father." He came through God's rugged school of training. At that time, Jephthah could have gone and take a rope and hung himself, because he left his mother behind, he left his old father behind, and all his brethren hated him. And then the villagers get together, and the nation of Israel sanctioned that to get rid of this bastard little fellow and chase him out. That's the background. Now, this fellow went through God's rugged school of training. Rejected. Yes, sir. But then instead of taking the powered way out, he had something in him that was predestinated. And that was heroism. That was heroism. And he left them. And he went out there and found fellows like himself, who was rejected. Simple fellows, the Bible says. And the man formed an army. He formed an army. And he was reputable in what he was doing. Yes, sir. And when Israel got into trouble and Ammon came down there to fight Israel, Israel was not able with Ammon. There was a great army. And something attracted them to Jephthah. And they went to Jephthah and said, "Come and defend us." He said, "But didn't you cast me out? What, you want to come here in the time of your trouble?" They said, "But no, we want you to come and defend us." He said, "But we will make you head after that too." He became a defender of Israel. He became a judge of Israel. Now, that man could have taken the powered way out and say, "Well, I'm not fit to live. Go into depression and live there." But I want to show you something in the scripture. This man, who was not supposed to come into the temple of the Lord until 10 generations, this man made God his hope. Brethren, think of that. Don't you know that is where we came from? We were sinners, undone, unclean, without a hope in this life. But then when we heard the gospel, it gave us hope, and we turned our attention to the Almighty. Brethren, Jephthah surrendered his will to God. He was not a church member. It is going to prove out. God is going to test him. And his strength in all the wars was the Lord. Now this blessed me so much to know that this vagabond, this bastard child, this rejected fellow, of course, typing out Christ in certain instances, turned to God. When everything failed him, he turned to the Almighty. And we will see in the story that this man's will was totally surrendered to God. Just by the expression, he said, "The words that I have gone out of my mouth, I cannot take it back." You talking about men? I cannot take it back, brethren. This man built up a certain courage by his trial and by his testing and by his rejection. And he was anointed of God and became a great hero. Yes, sir. He was anointed with courage, faithfulness, stamina, sincerity. Yes. And I want to say something here to you. That stamina and courage and faithfulness to God and to his duty rubbed off on his wife and daughter. Now, if you have a coward lead in you, when trouble comes up, we all will run. But, brothers and sisters, we follow the captain's footsteps. Our captain is greater than Jephthah. He has sent forth his spirit upon us. His anointing of bravery. Anointing of courage. Yes, sir. So now that house, look into Jephthah's house. Jephthah sat down in his house maybe for years and gave his testimony of where he came from and how rejected and dejected that he was in society. And how he prevailed by coming to God and surrendering his will and life to God. He gave glory to the Lord for his heroism. I believe that influence fall upon the simple fellows. And it anointed his army. And the man turned to God. I believe he sat many days and told his wife, "Without God, I can do nothing." He told her that story. He told the daughter, that little girl, "Oh, my, can you pity her? One child, no father, no mother, no brother, no sister, and the little girl, let us put her name, Sister Cynthia. She was trained up right. She was not a brat." You never heard that American expression? A brat. Brother Branham called these spoiled children brats. He said, most of the time when parents have one child, he said, spoil that child and they make it a brat. Now, I'll tell you one thing about this child here. She was not a brat. Brethren, she took on what the father had to say, what he taught, what he stood for. Yeah, she took on his sincerity, his faithfulness, his honesty, his devotion, his determination, his courage. Something will rub off from you as long as you come from a certain type of tree. And this little girl, you imagine growing up with daddy. "Come, Cynthia, let's pray. Mother, sit down there. Let me tell you something. I'm not a priest, I'm a warrior. I cannot even go down to the tabernacle that they have down the road because I'm a bastard child. But I met God and his spirit comes upon me." Brethren,
that rubbed off upon mother and daughter. And the sincerity of that man was so great that he wanted to honor God. He got a little emotional, maybe, but God was in it. And he won the battle. And when he won the battle, he was so anointed in the Spirit. He said, "Lord, when I return home in victory, if you give me the victory, whatever comes through the door of my house first, I will make it a burnt offering unto you." Brother, that's a hard trial. He never knew that God had a trial for him, and it was going to be a great trial coming down the road. And the news went on by the messengers that Daddy was coming home in victory, because when you go to war, you're not sure to come back. And everybody living all fear and trembling, would he return? Would I see Daddy again? Would I see Brother again? A war is a nasty thing. Would we see them again? Would we see son again? Yes. And the news came that they won the battle, and Daddy is returning in victory. And the little girl was a spiritual girl. She learned to beat the tambourine. Yes, and the Spirit of the Lord used to come upon her and dance. Yes. And when she heard the trumpet sound, and she heard Daddy was coming, she took up the tambourine, started to beat that tambourine, and mother started rejoicing. Nobody knew that a child was coming. Yes, the neighborhood started rejoicing that the war was won. Yeah, but it was going to be filled with sadness shortly. Yes, sir. And the little girl danced in the Spirit. Yes, from the inside of the house and outside, imagine she is singing and how she is dancing without shame. Yeah, people won't dance for the Lord when they go outside, my brother. One day, 2 days, they backslide and you see them in a short, sir. Right in the carnival bands, they're right in the parties. You're dead hypocrite, you. Yeah, the mouth cannot open in the house of God, but they could take songs out of the net. They could take songs from the radio and sing without shame. Then want to come and sing on the pulpit here. No, so all of you are banned that want to be such a hypocrite. Yeah, sing the songs of the devil and dance to the devil music. Go to the pubs there. And then want to come and sing here like an angel. No. I'm sure that this little sister was not of that kind. She was in the Spirit. And since little sister Sincere never seen Daddy for so many months. Yes, and she was so glad and exuberated. Yes, in the Spirit. And you could hear a voice from the house. "Daddy is coming! Daddy is coming! Mommy, run out! Daddy is coming!" And you hear the trumpet sound. Yes, and you hear the shout of victory in the village. Yes. And brothers and sisters, she passed everybody because she loved that. And she ran out and hit the door. And she was the first one that came to the door. Little do she know that God chose to make her a living sacrifice. Sacrifice. And it hit the father's heart. And he bowed down. I guess he climbed down from his horse. Yes, and knelt on the ground. And said, "Alas, my daughter, you have turned this victory into mourning." Yes, sir. Let me get his words. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes, tear open his clothes, and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." You're talking about man of courage. You're talking about man of sincerity, man of determination. You're talking about a man that made a vow and going to keep it. What about your vow as you made in the baptism pool that day? It is better that you had not vowed unto vow and not fulfilled it, for God said he had no delight in fools. Ecclesiastes 5 or 6. What about your vow? There was a man under the law. He was the judge and he was the captain and he was the head. He could have thought of perverting his vow and say, I didn't mean my daughter. I meant the little sheep that I'm minding in the house. But man of integrity was willing to sacrifice wife if she had come out there. Sacrifice daughter. Sacrifice anything. My brethren, we got to be bold and brave like that and be determined to sacrifice anything that come in our way. He that forsaketh not father and mother and wife and brethren and yea, and even his own life cannot be my disciple. To be a Christian, you have to have a greater determination. That if you have to sacrifice father, I sacrifice father. That's a different kind of sacrifice. Sacrifice mother, sacrifice schooling, sacrifice children, sacrifice everything around me to serve the Lord. Anything that try to stop me from serving the Lord become a sacrifice. Are you getting the picture? That is why that is placed in the Bible there. Oh, yeah. Cut out your hand, the Bible said. Cut out your foot. Oh, yeah. No matter what it is, I sacrifice it. My wife become a stumbling block to serve the Lord, I sacrifice her. Yes. My husband, I sacrifice him too. My daughter want to go and live it up in the world, I sacrifice. That's right. You're going to do it with pains in your heart. What you are going forward with for. Closing remarks, you'll learn. You say, the words that have gone out of my mouth, I cannot take it back. You have troubled me. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. This is why I put the name of this message, my brothers and sisters, Christian courage, Jephthah's daughter. And I want to prove something to you here tonight. That little sincere, a virgin daughter had more courage than the father and the mother. Had more courage than the father and mother. And she proved it. Here this maiden speaking, brother. She was brought up under the word. She was brought up in a believer's home. She followed the word of God. She listened attentively. She loved her father and she learned to love God. And she learned very carefully that if I make a vow to the Lord, I must not break that vow for nothing and nobody. She learned that lesson greatly. Oh yes. Hear the words of this young child. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thy enemies, even of the children of Ammon. Isn't that a wonderful thing? In other words, Daddy, I want to help you to fulfill your vow. Even though it includes my life, whatever has gone out of your mouth, fulfill it. Don't break God's word. No. Whatever went out of your mouth concerning me, do it. She did not even know that was a sacrifice yet. It was not spoken. He just said that you trouble me. He said, whatever it is, do it. Now that, my brothers, when you are a proper hearer of the word of God, that is when you see you understand what is eternal life. That you understand your commitment to God. That you understand what is baptism. You understand what was the vow that you made to serve God. Yes, sir. Daddy, whatever it is,
Don't take it back.
Even though it includes me here, this friend. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountain and bewail my virginity, I and my fellow. Oh, what a thing. You say, I'm a virgin, Daddy. I never fool around with men around there. I never run out and listen to rock and roll music. I never go out there and run around here and disgrace myself. Yes, sir. She said, and I must die as a virgin now. There is no hope for me to marry. Did she have a proposal to marry to somebody? She was willing, my brother, to part from mother. She was willing to part from boyfriend. She was willing, my brothers and sisters, to make her life a living sacrifice to fulfill God's word. That is courage. I'm saying that is courage more than Jephthah. That's courage more than the mother. Courage more than the whole army. Yes, that won a battle against Ammon. That is Christian courage. That is strength down on the inside. That is love for God. Your love for God will cause you to have courage to stand for the word of God. You will not be a hypocrite and cow down on the rock and roll music. You wouldn't be a coward and put on one kind of a dress and then wear a next dress and people see you on the side of the road. You dead hypocrite, you. You will be like this young woman. Like that woman. I want to close just now. But this girl has won my heart. And we will meet her in the new world. To see this young lady, not even put her name in the Bible here. Yes, but her story is there. And it has encouraged many millions, I will say, throughout the world. And she said, Daddy, let me go. And I'm going up upon the mountain. And Jesus said, Daddy, I'm going to cry. Lament. He said, I'm going to have my friends with me. Yes, I make up my mind to leave my friends. I'm going to lose them. I enjoy playing with them. Yes, I enjoy singing with them. I enjoy dancing with them. I enjoy beating the tambourine. I enjoy all the things in the church. Yeah. Daddy, lend me my friends just a little bit. I won't run away. I promise you I won't run away, Daddy. Yes. I won't run away with a man. After I go up in the mountain, a man could be waiting down in the valley and I could run away. Yes. And my friends could encourage me to do the same. But Daddy, let me go for 60 days. Brethren, I don't have time to get into this story. What about mommy? How mommy took that? She had to be built up right. Otherwise she'll be angry with Daddy. She will curse Daddy. He will say, the foolish thing you've done. That could have been me coming through the door. And how the mother wished that if it were, it should be me coming through that door. And she began to think that I live my life out. I'm a big woman. I experience life. Yeah, it should be me coming through that door. Why did I turn back to pick up that thing or brush my hair? That I could have gone in front and let it be me. Yeah. Imagine the wailing of that mother and the crying of that mother for 6 days. Imagine the fasting. Imagine the skin and bones of that father and that mother in a home. My brother, that was a happy home. Turn my brothers and sister into a funeral before the day of the funeral. They know what was going to happen. Now tell me, Jephthah, what was the promise you made to God? Oh, I'm ashamed. I'm afraid to tell you. I say that she will be a burnt offering. Look, the wood fire is there. They make up the pyre already. And I got to put my daughter there, stick a knife in her guts. Yes, and let her burn before all the soldiers and all the villagers. You think people made, brother, little sacrifices to serve God? What kind of a sacrifice you made? What kind of a sacrifice you made? Brothers and sisters, you will have to imagine the rest. Otherwise, you'll be here till 11 o'clock. Imagine the rest, my brother. What kind of a home that was? Did Jephthah eat any food since that? Did the mother eat any food? Yes, sir. Beloved, what kind of a prayer that they prayed, Lord, if there is some way, not my will, but thine be done. Figurating, my brother, on Mount of Olives. Not my will. Jephthah could have said that. Not my will, Lord. My will is for my daughter to live. But thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. His knees were sore. His wife, my brother, was eating no food. Yes. And the laments that went out of that house, I guess, touched the villagers. Yes. It touched all the young virgins. Nobody could have comforted them. And you could hear this little girl going up upon the mountain with all her friends. And she went upon that mountain and it echoed in the valley. Yes, and whatever she was lamenting. But she was lamenting, my brother, her virginity. And I could imagine, she said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Because I want to please Daddy and I want to please you above all things. I have not eaten anything, Lord, for the past 50 days. The past 45 days. Food cannot go down. Water cannot go down in my stomach. I am but skin and bones, O Lord. Yes, but the words that have gone out of my father's mouth, he shall not take back. And if he says that I should be a sacrifice, Lord, I'm willing to be a sacrifice unto you. Under the blood of bullocks and goats. What kind of a sincerity we should display under the blood of Jesus Christ that speaketh better things than that of Abel. How that should put us to shame. That little girl could have gone down there, brother, and taken the counsel of her fellows. You think all the fellows was spiritual? She had bad advice. Girl, run away. There was a family beyond the mountain. I have an uncle there. Run away. And we will tell him we don't know what become of you. What about the boyfriend? Send a message to her. I don't want you to die. I will meet you on such and such place in another city. He said, no. I must keep my father's vow with him. He loved God and he loved me. This is the way that he brought me up. Yeah, mommy is crying home. You hear mommy crying home? Don't you know your daddy is on the point of death because he eaten nothing for 60 days? Yes, I have not eaten nothing for 60 days too. Yes, but you think that you're so brave to go and do that? I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm the biggest coward. Yes, the young girl suffered depressions. Yes, the devil come up upon that mountain and suppress her and depress her and torment her, but she received not her deliverance. With all the torment of the devil. That is fortitude. That is bravery. That is courage. Yes, they should put us to shame. We run from a little trial, run from a little something. We are ready to give up the ghost. I'm ashamed of myself. Yes, sir. And look at the courage of that young girl. Closing remarks. The musicians come. Yes, look at that girl. Went up upon the mountain and lamented. And as she wailed and she weeped, yes, her virgin sisters. Yes, what happened? They wailed behind her. They was not eating too, they loved her. Yes. And I could imagine them saying that you never had the opportunity to marry. Sister Sincere, you never had the opportunity to marry. You was about to be married. And you never had the opportunity to marry.
Your father is a cruel man.
I said, no, my father is not a cruel man. He's a sincere man. What has gone out of his mouth, I will help him to fulfill.
Think of it, that did not even go out of her mouth. It went out of another person's mouth.
And that woman was ready to fulfill that. Woman, a young lady, was ready to fulfill that. Yes. And brethren, I could imagine her coming down from that mountain and staggering and falling. Yes. And the maidens had to hold her up. She wasn't sure, my brother, that she could make it to Calvary. No, sir. But she was going to become a sacrifice. You see her types out of our Lord Jesus. Yes. And falling down, brothers and sisters, and they held her. Yes. And carry her part of the way. And say, you got to go home now. He said, yes, I'm going to go home. I'm going to return home to my father. And she was skin and bone. They could not make her out. Yes, all her cheeks went in. The clothes, my brothers and sisters, could not fit her. Yes, sir. And she walked across there, and I could see. She come to the house, my beloved, and lay on the steps of the home. And said, Daddy, here am I. Do unto me as thou hast vowed. Make me a sacrifice. I willingly give up my life to help you fulfill the words of the Lord. And you can hear the mother wail from inside of the bedroom. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And you can hear the aunt. And you can hear the uncle. Yes. And you can hear the neighborhood. And you can hear the young ladies following her. And they all kneel down. Isn't there a way to save sincere? Yeah. She put on a tambourine. Could not beat the tambourine. She could not sing. No. She was going to die for the word of God. Yes. Yes, my daughter. I regret that I have to do this, but the words that have gone out of my mouth, I shall not alter. Yes, I repent to you. I'm sorry about this, sweetheart. You remember the days that he called his little child, one little girl, and how she was drawn up at his feet, and how she sang the specials, and how she beat the tambourine. She could not sing a last special for him, nor beat the tambourine. Yes. And she look out there, he look out there, my brother, and remember, it flashed in 60 days. I guess he went through all her life. And he thanked God that she did yield her life unto God as he did. Yeah, that sincerity and honesty of the father fell upon the mother and fell upon the daughter. Yes. And they had a great gathering of the soldiers who heard Jephthah made that vow. And the villagers came out and they sounded the trumpet. And they called the priest, my beloved. Instead of sacrificing a lamb, he had a knife in his hand. Yes, it was a human sacrifice that God, like God, made on the cross. The love of God in Jephthah's heart caused his daughter to be sacrificed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, it takes love for you to make that kind of sacrifice. Yes. Gentlemen, she's not able to climb upon the pyre. She's so weak. And I am so weak, I cannot even take up my daughter to put her up there. Yes, help her up. Yes, Daddy, don't tie my hands. I won't run away. Let me go up freely. Yes, and they pick up the little girl, maybe about 50, 60 pounds, and they put her upon the pyre. And I could see her lay back. Yes, lay her neck out, put her hands at her side, stretch out her feet. Yes, and the priest, brothers and sisters, came up there, and he said, my daughter, this is the first human sacrifice that I am going to make. I'm accustomed killing a lot of sheep. But upon the command of your daddy, who is the head of this tribe, I must do this. It hurts my heart, And I see that she closed her eyes. And Laban can take a breath and say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. And the priest lift up the blade, my brothers, and try to do it as gently as he can because of pity, because of sorrow. Yes, and bring down that blade into the heart. And she was so weak that, brothers and sisters, I believe she expired in a moment. But the word of God was kept. That was such a touching story, an incident in Israel, that every year they had a mourning for the daughter of Jephthah. But her story lives on, and it is even an inspiration tonight. And I trust tonight that that has touched your heart, yes, to make any sacrifice for God and become a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Why can't we sacrifice the things of this world to serve the Lord? Why can't we? She sacrificed her own life to fulfill the word of God. I believe that this story, my brother, will live on as long as the Bible lives on. I believe it will come upon the day of judgment. Yes. And I believe that she will have a great place. Her father judged Israel for about 6 years. Maybe, I'm not sure. But it seems like he only lived a short time after that, because he came head of the army. Not the army, but Israel. And the Bible said that he judged Israel 6 years. So it seemed like he died soon after that. But there was a reuniting of Jephthah with his daughter. They passed their trial. Yes, he prepared them right for the great climax, for the great trial that was coming down the road. And that is what the Lord is trying to do to every one of us. Prepare us for the great climax. We want to be victorious, even like Jephthah and his daughter. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words and the preaching of the gospel. Let us sing a song.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is His. His eyes are on the sparrow.
Let us all stand up.
And I know He was with me. And I know He was with me.
Oh, I sing because I am happy.
Because I am happy.
Oh,
Let not your heart be troubled.
He'll bend the words I hear. I'm resting on his goodness. I lose my doubts and cares.
I lose my doubts and fears.
Do by the path he leadeth.
lift up our hands.
Thank you, Lord.
And talk to him just a little bit before we go.
Thank you, Lord.
Let it be our dismissal prayer. Oh, thank him, brethren.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Savior. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for such a life. We are ashamed of ourselves tonight, Lord. We have a shame before this testimony. Oh God, thank you so much for your word tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Bless our brethren everywhere.
Yes, Lord.
Bless them, O Lord, and bless this message wherever it may go. We come at the dismissal of this service into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ for your honor and glory. Amen. Sorry to hold you back so long tonight, brethren. Especially those who have to travel down to Cedrus. Try to make it down a little early. We will try to do better tomorrow. If they allow me to come up here in the right time. And we will be dismissed much more earlier tomorrow and Wednesday, Lord willing. Pray that the Lord give me something. I feel so led of the Lord to preach these little things to you. And I know that there is room in your heart somewhere for it. So we thank the Lord for his word tonight. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed until tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.